Dear participants, thank you for standing by and welcome to the DSM conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. For questions, you may dial star one at any time. Now I would like to turn over the call to Mrs. Lieke de Jong. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's preliminary results for the first quarter 2018, which we published earlier this morning. Thank you for joining us at such short notice. Sitting here with me are both Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the Managing Board, and Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, CFO and Member of the Managing Board. Mr. Sijbesma will give a short introduction, whereafter both will be available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning, so until 9:30. As a reminder, our full Q1 results will be published as previously communicated on May 8. As always, today's conference call can contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I now like to hand the call over to Feike and Geraldine. Feike, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining at this short notice this morning. The press release, which we issued this morning, in addition, in advance to our usual reporting rhythm, provides a first indication of our results for the first quarter. I would like to point out that we are, of course, not yet able to provide a full picture of all details of the first quarter, as we are in the middle of our regular quarterly closing process. Having now an indication of our preliminary Q1 results, we felt it, though, necessary to communicate today these indicative results and update you on the expectations for the full year, since our results are substantially higher than early expected, and also due to the exceptional supply disruption in the industry, which have a significant effect and bigger than earlier expected. These first quarter results are still very high level and preliminary, and therefore changes may still occur, although we have a good picture already at this moment. The final Q1 results, as Lieke said, will be published on May 8. Now, before Q&A, I would like to address some highlights. Address first the performance of the underlying business. Our underlying business, and this is without the temporary vitamin price effects, so the business as usual, so to say. As we indicated in the press release, we have had a very strong start of this year in this first quarter, with an overall organic sales growth of about 11% against a very strong comparable period. Animal nutrition, human nutrition, all our nutrition business, as well as all our material business, we are indicating strong organic growth in this quarter. Once again, all our business continued with a good growth momentum and growing all well above the market. On the profit level, the adjusted EBITDA of the underlying business is expected to be up 7% in the first quarter, despite the impact of a significant foreign currency headwind. So this is a very good figure. At constant currencies, so excluding the currency impact, we would even have been in a double-digit growth rate of profit in this first quarter. This very strong performance in the underlying business at constant currencies is in line with the increase we realized both in 2016 and 2017, which were, of course, well ahead of our targets even set for our strategy 2018, which today, as reported, continues then in 2018 in this first quarter as well. On top of all of these strong results in the underlying business, we had roughly an additional 165 million adjusted EBITDA contribution from the higher vitamin prices due to the exceptional supply disruptions in the vitamin E and vitamin A industry. While it's clear that these market conditions are expected to be temporarily and heavily weighted towards the first half year, we had somewhat limited visibility as to the full year potential impact on our results of these higher vitamin prices. Overall, if I take the underlying business, the impact of the foreign currencies and the vitamin pricing environment, we had a very strong quarter with a total adjusted EBITDA up even 55%. Well, all of the above brings me to the increased outlook for the full year. As indicated in the press release, we are raising the outlook for the full year of 2018, once again based on the continued very good momentum in our underlying business, as we call it, so the business without this special effect, and a higher EBITDA benefits, of course, from this special temporary vitamin effect. And based on that, the new outlook now reads, DSM expect now an adjusted EBITDA growth toward 25% for the full year and a related higher ROCE growth. And this is based on, again, a low double-digit adjusted EBITDA growth in the underlying business at constant currencies, a negative, as I said, foreign currency effect on the adjusted EBITDA for the full year of about 80 billion, and this additional EBITDA benefit, which we saw in the first quarter, 165 million, maybe over the total year, 250 to 300 million from this exceptional vitamin pricing environment, which is expected, as I said, temporarily of nature and heavily weighted towards the first half of this year. And with that, operator, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question, please press star 1. Star 1 for questions or remarks. Please go ahead. The first question is from Mr. Vincent Croft from AMP. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you very much, and good morning to all participants. Mr. Sijbesma, could you elaborate a little bit more on these disruptions in the supply of the vitamins? I've spoken to one of your spokesmen early this morning who gave me a little bit of detail about what's happening with other parties, and is it possible that these disruptions with your rival companies may lead to some form of consolidation? For instance, they could say, seeing these disruptions, we decide to divest our vitamin business, and is that a possibility that DSM could profit from such moves? If you could elaborate a bit on that, that would be nice.
Well, indeed, we see a little bit of an unusual situation today in some of the vitamins, not all. It is especially vitamin E and even more especially vitamin A where we see this effect. And that had to do with outages of some of our, one of our European competitors, main competitor in this field. And that creates a shortage, I expect, but I have no crystal ball either. I expect that the shortage will be temporarily of nature and that it will be back in the market. As we said, maybe somewhere in the second quarter or the end of the second quarter or whatever, but I do not know, of course, exactly how the competition is restarting their business. Need to see. And at this moment, we are benefiting, therefore, from this positive effect. However, that I expect this temporarily, but I have no crystal ball, as I said.
But could it be, for instance, you refer to your European competitor, I believe that's BASF. Could it be that BASF decides on, well, we've had these problems now with our production, we want to get rid of these activities and we might put them up for sale, and is that just speculating here a little bit, is that something that could happen, or do you see perhaps movement in the markets?
I agree, especially with one word of your sentence, that's the word speculate. You talk about our competition who is deciding about their own business themselves. And it is, for me, very odd and weird, and I don't want to do that.
No.
Say anything of the plans and the idea of our competition.
No,
I only
make
the observation that they had to be temporarily, I expect, out of the business and out of production.
Yeah.
They indicated it's also temporarily. Therefore, since they indicate it's temporarily, therefore we indicate that the effect with us most likely is also temporary of nature.
Yeah.
And we in that sense, copy-paste what we hear and see and react on that. It is important to say that next to this effect, which is, of course, a special effect, our underlying business is doing also very, very well, both in nutrition, also on all the other vitamins or all the other enzymes or all the other cultures or all the other long-chain fatty acids and all the other products we have. We do pretty well. We grow also this first quarter, but already for years, above the market. We have good margins. And on top of that, also our materials business showing that growth. And we need to realize that in this first quarter, we have a strong currency headwind compared with last year.
Yeah.
But we more than compensate for that in our EBITDA performance. So I nuance a little bit this one-time effect. And then I say, but if I look underlying, I think the business is doing pretty well. And there are all kinds of other movements. China is addressing climate change more strong, etc. And DSM is also benefiting from that. And that's more the structural movements in the market. And there we are well positioned.
All right. I'll leave the floor to other participants, if any. Thank you very much, Mr. Zuidsma.
The next question is from Mr. Hans Verbraak, het Financieel Dagblad. Please go ahead.
Yes, Feike, goedemorgen en Geraldine. I wanted to ask something about the underlying growth. It's stronger even than in 2017. What's the reason?
Yeah, I agree. You need to. It is a little bit stronger, maybe. It's on the high side. I agree, compared with the figures of the last 2 years. But basically, you see, we continue this very strong growth. If I look to the volume growth, we already have for 8-9 quarters good volume growth in nutrition and in materials, and it continues very strong in this first quarter, and also margin-wise. And basically, what is the root cause? I think basically you need to draw the conclusion that the strategy, as we have outlined in 2015, mm-hmm. is working very well. We focus already for a couple of years on the real push of our own organic growth, our own performance. And we are apparently very well positioned in the markets we operate in. Our innovation are working well. And like I said, there is also some structural changes, especially in China, with more attention for what they call blue sky, addressing the pollution. And that results also to some Chinese players who left over time the market or needed to do more investments in order to keep up with the environmental regulations. And that drives up cost for competition. We are saying that already, of course, for years, that you need to manufacture in a responsible and sustainable way, as you know from DSM. But now you see this is becoming more common practice, and that influence also the competitive environment. So basically, we are very well positioned and do very well. And indeed, if you look to our materials business, underlying growth has been 11%. You need to realize that there is a currency headwind in this. So if you calculate then at constant currencies, it will be substantially higher than the 11%, and that's a very strong performance. Same you can do for nutrition, 7% growth underlying, which even a bigger currency headwind than materials brings you in the somewhere mid-double-digit EBITDA growth of nutrition. So also very strong performance.
Can you give some examples of the very good positioning of products? Can you, because it's rather abstract, but can you give some examples?
Yeah. I hate to say that it is all over the place, but that is the real answer, by the way.
Yeah.
Because if I look in nutrition, let me start there. Is it more animal or is it more human? No, it is both, to be honest. We are doing basically very well in the position of our ingredients for animal, helping, of course, the health of the animals by the different, not only vitamins, but also enzymes, which reduce the impact on the environment and the manure and all that stuff. But also on the human, different products, and even also the B2C products, which we have with eye health, like Culturelle, like Aesop, those are even consumer brands growing more than double-digit or growing double-digit. But also now our materials business, our engineering plastics business with the different specialties and compounds, making electronics greener, making cars lighter and all that stuff, selling basically sustainability there to our customers, making paints cleaner, especially in China, very good sales. So yeah, again, give many of those examples, but it is, and the good thing is, and we focus for that in the entire DSM, it is not an isolated pocket which takes care of all the growth.
No.
To be honest, all the business DSM owns are growing very well and above, in all cases, the markets we operate in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Edwin van der Schoot, De Telegraaf. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Sliepersma. I was just wondering what are the, I understand the vitamin dynamics, but what are the drivers of the growth in the material business?
Yeah. Once again, I think it's not that at once there is a shock in the quarter or whatever. This is a long-term planning, and you see that already for a couple of years and at least 8-9 quarters that we're doing very well, and it strongly continues also now in 2018. And I come back, it has to do with positioning of our portfolio in the company. We have been repositioning DSM already for years on sustainability, selling more sustainability to our customers. If I take resins, paints, we went away from solvent-borne paints to waterborne paints, and hoping also that the world would switch to that area, that the legislation would switch in our favor. And in the recent years, it did. For example, China is taking up this very strongly, also with legislation. Now, step by step, our business is benefiting from this. If you look to the electronics industry, to make your electronics greener, your cables greener, no risk of flammable things, et cetera, it becomes a bigger issue. We are benefiting from that already quite some quarters, but it continues strongly. So I think there is not something that really happened this quarter that now the world changed and therefore we have huge growth. It is something we are busy with for years, and the environment is really changing, yeah, so to say, into our direction or to our favor, or to say it better, we have been anticipating of a changing world with our portfolio, and the world is changing in that direction. Yeah, and there we are benefiting from.
Maybe I'm mistaken, but did you change the date of your Capital Markets Day or not?
We have said last year that maybe normally we will plan the Capital Markets Day at the year end of 2018,
yes.
Because at the end of 2018 we run out of the 2018 targets because the period lasts till the end of 2018. And we have said, since we're doing so well, let's do that. But we have said that already much earlier. Let's do that mid-2018. And we have now set the actual date, which is mid-2018, which is June 20. So that's a date we have now confirmed in line with what we have said before. And that had all to do that in 2015, we defined a strategic period up and until the end of 2018. But yeah, we achieved all those targets already, so we are ahead.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or remark, you can still press star one. The next question is from Mr. Vincent Croft. Please go ahead.
Yes. I would like to follow up a little bit on what chances the DSM sees for opportunities concerning perhaps takeovers, consolidation. What kind of market opportunities you see? Is this something you're actively working on this front, looking at possibilities, or are you mainly focused on the ongoing activities as they are right now?
Well, we have said the first focus is our own organic growth, positioning of the company, positioning of our products in the different markets, and showing that we can grow. And like we on constant currencies, we are growing already in quarters and continue now double digits. So that is very good. The second driver is all our future innovation projects, which, you know, clean cow, green ocean, the recyclable carpet, Niaga, and all those things. They will start contributing 2019, 2020 plus especially. So that is a second driver. And of course, we will and can also look to acquisitions, but as it is always with those kinds of things, they come when they come, and we announce when we have something to announce, so speculate on anything of that nature, when it comes.
And what would be the business that would have a preference for strengthening via acquisitions? Would that first be the foodings division or the material science? Do you have a preference for one of those activities to grow?
Yeah, I think those kind of questions maybe we should further postpone to our capital markets days, where we in June give more an update of what is the further expectations and focus of the company in the future.
Okay.
However, the capital markets days will also strongly address especially the targets of growth in the company, because once again, in all our business, materials and nutrition, yeah, we do very well, and we grow above the market. So in that sense, it is not, once again, that one part of DSM is performing much better than the other part. We show the business we own, we are able to grow them faster than the markets we operate in.
Yes. Yes, but you could also reason that because you are so very successful in running the business, that you could say from, well, we see a competitor here who is clearly not performing as well as we do. We're going to take you over and beef you up, so to speak.
Yeah, but on any acquisitions, as I said, they come when they come, and we announce when we announce.
Yeah.
We don't speculate, and by the way, this is pretty common practice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to get it. And with the capital markets, are you going to publish also new targets for growth, or is it more?
That will be a very important topic on the capital markets days, because like Geraldine and our CFO saying, we are running out of targets. In that sense, we achieved all our targets. So we need to update the market a little bit on the capital markets days. What can you expect from us in the years to come on our performance? And
so you're going to come with new ambitions.
Yeah, the new ambition.
Okay. All right.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Vincent.
Yeah. Thank you very much, all.
Fike, do you have any closing remarks?
Okay. No, I think, and I know it's a little bit short notice for all of you, so I appreciate that you could spend some time. And as I said, I think, yeah, we look very positive, of course, to our company. But after so many successful quarters under our belt, which we achieved in 16 and 17, etc., we are so happy that we can continue, especially this underlying growth. And of course, we all see that we are benefiting also a little bit from outages in the industry, and therefore, most likely, once again, I have no crystal ball, temporarily vitamin effect, okay, but that underlying all our businesses, and I stress again, all are performing very well, despite the fact that the currency headwind compared with a year ago is, of course, pretty significant, but we more than compensate for that, substantially more. So with that, I would like to close, and once again, based on that, we have increased also the outlook for the full year. And I appreciate that on short notice you could spend some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Fike. This concludes our conference call today. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and I wish you a good day.